All right, shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rishon Messianic Bible Club. And I hope that all of our graduates are still watching. I know it's not as intense in Hebrew and more about teaching the Bible on a deeper level. But the wonderful thing is that when I get to deeper level stuff and I'm talking about it, because you've already graduated and you've taken the class, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I bring up letters and numbers, you're not like, what the heck is this crazy man? So I'm thankful. So to everyone, you know, all around the world who's watching, who's preparing ourselves for the greatest event in the history of the world. There's only been one other event that has been as great as this, and that was the flood. Okay, and this is going to be that next event that's going to change the entire scope of the world and bring about, 7 years later, the reign of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Malachnu, our King. So, let's get started today with a prayer. And because of the foolishness that is going around, wow, I was not, Deborah said, somebody got a hold of me and said, I feel sorry for Pastor Sandy. It seems like he feels like he has to really live a holy life or else he's not going to be saved. And he's trying to gain his own salvation by living for God. Oh, I was like, wow, you know, that's how deep the lie runs now. If you're living for God, you're trying to gain your own salvation. So therefore you're in sin. Wow. Is that something?
That's
crazy. Satan is like, I've been at this a long time and I've discovered that people are not as smart as they appear. Because when you can tell lies like that,
and they believe it.
And people go, you know, he's right.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. If I'm trying to stop fornicating, that means I'm trying to add to the work of God.
Worse.
If I'm trying to stop doing drugs, I'm trying to add to the work of God. And I can't add to it. That means I'm not depending on his grace. So I'll just keep doing drugs and fornicating so that I can really be saved.
So I can really be saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And God says, you know, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter. Wow. Okay. I love it. Let's pray. Let's pray the Shema prayer. Because the Shema prayer tells you how God wants to be, not how he wants to be loved, how he commands us that he wants to be loved. This is the way God says that we have to love him. Okay. The Jews fully follow this example on Shabbat. I'm not saying all the time, but on Shabbat, they follow this because on Shabbat, they're not. I was walking to a Sabbath service on a Friday night, and I started talking about a book and sports, and it was like, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to talk about anything but God on our way to the temple. And I was like, wow. I was like, you can't, so we can only talk about the scriptures or talk about the praise of God. And he said, yes, that's all we're allowed to talk about until the Shabbat is over, right?
Wow.
So they are fully submerged themselves into God for the Shabbat, right? And there's no frivolous talk. There's no, and then they, you know, I always tell the story that they had me turn off the dishwasher because it was on and they couldn't touch it because it related to fire. They are so religiously connected to the Shabbat to keep it exactly. And then when I tried to walk to my car, they was like, "What are you doing?" And it was like, "We walk to the synagogue. That would be lighting a fire." So we walked about 3 or 4 blocks to the synagogue. And I was like, wow, okay.
Wow.
we're talking about really keeping the Sabbath. Not people like, oh yeah, I wake up every Saturday morning and I keep the Sabbath. No, they keep it from Friday evening to Saturday evening, and they really try to stick to the scriptures. So, but yes.
Shalom from Uganda.
Shalom, Uganda.
In Oklahoma.
And where else in Oklahoma?
Uganda, London, and Oklahoma.
All right, London, man. London is becoming a beautiful place. Congratulations on our new champion, Tyson Fury, who has one thing to say to the whole world: accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I love that this guy is like totally talking about Jesus Christ, not just because he won, he was talking about Jesus before he won, right?
Wow.
And yeah, he's the champion. He's the world boxing champion now. And he's from that area, and you know, with the
wow,
with the English accent and all. And anyway, I'm just going to tell this, and this is running into you guys' time. But the other fighter, Wilder, was talking about connecting with his spirits from the African world to help him defeat Fury. Ooh. And Fury said, man, all I worship is Jesus Christ. I thought we were on the same, he said, I thought we were thinking about the same, we were two types of the same people. But he says, I see now you're far from what I am. I only depend on Jesus. I don't know about no ancient spirits taking over your body. And then the other fighter said to him, well, I guess it'll be a fight between your God and my God.
No, he
did. Yes, he did. So right there, he did what King Sennacherib did, right? He said, you just sealed your debt because now you've challenged the God of Tyson Fury, which is Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And I was like, I was just totally like, so if you ever see that on the telly while you're there in London, make sure that you watch his testimony about you. And even after he won, he just yelled out, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Jamel said, Tyson Fury whipped that boy like a government mule.
And I agree 100%. I've never seen somebody take a whipping like that.
Wow.
Since my mama whipped me as a little boy, I haven't seen nobody take a whipping like that. So let's get back to the Word of God.
Yes,
thank you, Father God, that you said laughter is good health. This is good for our health.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. In English, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Then you will love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Let these words, what words? The words of the Torah, the words of the Bible. Let these words, which I command you today, be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your arm and let them be a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gate. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vehavata et Adonai Elocha. Bekov levavacha. Uvko nefishcha. Uvko mehodecha. Vehayu hadevarim ha'eli asher anoki mishvacha hayom al levavacha. Veshanatam lavenecha. Vedebartar bam beshifticha bevetecha uvletecha viderek. Ushochbecha ukumecha. Ushatam laot al yadecha, vehayu letutafot bainainecha, uftaftam amizuzot bitecha uvisharech, beshim Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefillim, bonalech, let's go.
Amen. Pastor Sandy, someone from India,
can you see?
Oh, okay. He says, it's Manash Samuel.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Pastor Sandy. This is Manash Samuel from India.
Hallelujah. Praise God. My guy who has our Indian restaurant here, he left and went back to India, Pastor Ben.
Oh.
he's a born again Christian, and he had a nice restaurant here, and he moved back to India, but he'd be in that restaurant witnessing and talking to people about Jesus all the time.
What?
So we'd always go there and eat, me and Drea. But he said he missed his family, wanted to go back to India. He sold the business and went back. And I don't like the new guy because he took down all the Jesus stuff. So I ain't eating there no more.
He took down all
the Jesus stuff. Took the tracks off of the counters and everything.
Oh.
So I ain't going there eating no more.
Amen.
All right. So praise God. Let's get started. Last night, we talked about the Word of God producing the rapture. How does the Word of God produce the rapture? Because when God says something, then you can bet 100% is going to happen. See who's standing at our back door, Pastor Ben.
Oh, those are the mechanics.
Okay, good deal. Oh, you can see it. Good. So understand this, that God's Word is what's going to produce the rapture, okay? We don't have to argue about what means this, is it this or is it that? Because God's word has always already promised us that there will be a rapture.
Yes.
In God's word, he has always already said that the rapture will happen before the tribulation begins.
Yes.
So we know that because of God's record in his word, meaning that everything he says comes true, that you can 100% put everything and all your hope on the rapture of the church and us being taken out of here.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
This is my calling from God, okay? My calling is to prepare his people to leave.
Yes.
By doing what? By emphasizing to you the importance of the most important day in the history of the world since what? Since the flood.
Yep.
Okay, because this is going to change everything, and it will begin a complete cleanup process, getting the evil out of the world, getting the Nephilim out of the world, cleaning up everything. Now, Hades will still be underneath us,
yes.
But for 1,000 years, we ain't got to worry about that. They'll come up at the end of the 1,000 years for judgment.
Right.
But this event called the rapture is about to change everyone's life, okay?
Yes.
If you have any problems in your life, any sicknesses, any illnesses, any bills, a bad running car, the rapture will cure it all,
yes.
Okay? So I want you to be hopeful and make sure that your blessed hope stays in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God.
Pastor, yes. Pastor Ben asked Pastor Sandy if he ever checked out Isaiah 54:6-9.
54:6-9?
Isaiah 54:6-9.
I probably have, but I don't think I got back to you concerning it though. But I'll look at it. I'll look at it. Email me about it. I'll look at it and give you an extensive answer. One of my favorite chapters, 52, 53, and 54. 53 is Parakasur. That is called the forbidden chapter. So when the rabbis read Isaiah, they leave out 53 because they don't want anybody getting confused that that's talking about the Messiah.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's called the Parakasur. They said it, and then they go, now let's go buy the Parakasur and continue in in the Torah. So then they move on, but they always jump over 53.
Man.
Isn't it crazy?
That's crazy.
All right. So what we talked about last night was 1947. The fulfillment of that prophecy. And what's the prophecy of 1947? First of all, we're talking about the 19th book of the Bible. Why are we talking about the 19th book of the Bible? Because God started the last generation in the 19th book of the Bible. And he began counting 120 years up to the present year, which is about to be the 120th year, 2020.
Yeah.
Because you guys are on a Gregorian calendar, you believe you're already in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to use Pope Gregory's calendar, the whole world's using it, feel free. But for those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that a year doesn't start until Nissan.
Right.
And so we're going to begin 2020 at Nissan, and that will start the 120th year, the year of the flood. Praise God.
Yes.
So we talked about 1947. 1947 was prophesied in Psalms 47, the 19th book of the Bible, the 48th chapter. In Psalms 47, as the UN coming together and deciding that Israel will get this its land back. The 48th chapter of Psalm prophesies the return of the nation of Israel back into the land in the 19th book of the Bible, Psalms. In the 48th chapter of the Bible, it talks about the return of the nation of Israel. Then we discover now that also, when you go 19 years later, mm-hmm. 19 years later to 1967, what do we then find? That there was a six-day war.
Yes.
But the whole chapter's not talking about war. What is the whole chapter talking about? The whole chapter is talking about asking God to show himself powerful through to all the nations.
Yes.
Let the nations know that you are the one and true God, okay?
Yes.
Now, what we discovered last night was that King Sennacherib was going to destroy Israel, and he was threatening them with war. So the Jerusalem and King Hezekiah was waiting for their own destruction from a great and vast army. And so he prayed to God and he said, Lord, make yourself known to all the earth. Let them know that you are the one true God.
Yes.
The same in 1967. Russia, Egypt, Syria, and many other Arab nations were ready to get involved. And God put in Psalm 67, Hezekiah's prayer, Father God, make yourself known to all the nations, that the nations may rejoice that you are with your people. So he puts Hezekiah's in 67 because he says, I'm going to do the same in 1967 what I'm doing for you right here in the book of Isaiah.
Mm.
Prophecy fulfilled.
Amen.
Okay. And then what does the scripture say? The scripture that we read last night, so pointed to what God proclaims in his word, and that's Jeremiah chapter 1:12. The Lord said, you are right, Jeremiah, what you see. He says, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Okay? Understand that. So then we talked about an episode at the Western Wall in 1967. And what was going on at the Western Wall? I'm trying to look up who was that guy that had in his mind that he's going to build a hotel and tear down the Western Wall and open the Eastern Gate and tear. Now, you got to know that God said the Eastern Gate shall not be opened until the Messiah comes back. That Eastern Gate is still closed. You know that? So God has kept this gate closed because he said it will not be open until the Messiah returns. But we had this guy, and he wanted to build a hotel and tear down the Western Wall and open the Eastern Gate and tear down the Western Wall. All plans, he says here, it says a crane had been set up outside the gate and an air hammer had been laid inside the gate. Work was to commence on June 7th, but the Israelites moved into Jerusalem on June 6th,
yeah,
and preempted King Hussein's plan to open the Eastern Gate and to begin building of a new hotel. And that was King Hussein had planned to build an Arab luxury hotel in the site of the Western Wall in 1967. So God said, you know what? The wall's not coming down and the Eastern Gate's is not going to be open.
Mm.
And even though you're a rich king and you have a vast army, you're going to find out. So on June 6th, They were planning to start construction June 7th on June 6th. The Jews were now in control of the Western Wall and crying on the Mount as they prayed, because it was the first time since they've been able to go on the mountain that the temple used to be and pray in front of the Western Wall where the temple used to be. It was the first time they got to pray on the Mount.
Wow.
And so 1967 fulfilled God's word, because God is watching over his word. Watch this. You follow me, okay? Because we're going to get into the word a little bit, but I want you to follow me. In 1917, which is prophesied in Psalm 17 of the planes flying over Jerusalem, and these planes flew over Jerusalem. General Allenby took back Jerusalem in 1917 and landed and walked through the Jerusalem walls on what day? On the 24th of Kislev, on Hanukkah. Oh. And he walked through and he proclaimed that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yes.
1967, 50 years later in the Jubilee, the Jews are on Mount in front of the Western Wall proclaiming what? Proclaiming what? That Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yes.
Okay, 50 years later, Donald Trump. In December, right?
Yes.
In December, before Hanukkah, declares to the world that what? Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, all 50 years apart, right? Mm-hmm. So God is like, see, I'm watching over my word, because every 50th year is a jubilee, and the original land must go back. The land must go back to the original owner on jubilee.
Yes.
He fulfilled his word.
Yes.
Okay, so who are we to think? Who are we to think that this chapter? Let me get rid of this book. Who are we to think that this chapter in the book of Thessalonians that simply states this in verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever, right?
Yes.
Talking about the rapture, okay?
Yes.
It gives every, because if you go back to 13, it says, brother, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. People, he says, we who believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
Yes.
According to his own words. Okay, we tell you that those who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, how would we precede them, because they have died in Christ? Okay, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
Now, what kind of bodies do you think that the righteous lived in paradise in?
The spiritual bodies.
Spiritual bodies. And Corinthians says that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Old Testament saints lived in paradise, but they had spiritual bodies. They didn't have resurrected bodies.
Yeah.
I want you to know, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back in a resurrected body to live on the earth for 1,000 years. He will hug, he will eat, he will do everything, you know, that a physical person does. He came in the flesh, he was resurrected in a resurrected body, okay?
Yeah.
So he's gonna return in a resurrected body,
yeah.
Okay? So understand this, that those that have died in Christ are already in his presence, but the Corinthians says there's a natural body and there is a spiritual body and there is a resurrected body.
Yes.
Okay? They will get their resurrected bodies before we do. We will not precede them. Once they get their resurrected bodies and they meet the Lord in the air, at that time, we who are left will be caught up with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Now, a fool's question to God would be, do you really think that's going to happen? I know. Doesn't it sound absurd? People walking around and then floof, they're off in the sky and with God. But they forget who's talking, okay? They forget that the earth didn't really exist until God spoke it. You know what I mean? They really forgetting who they talk. They forget that God has brought people up into heaven before.
Yes.
Who were in a natural body and somehow were changed immediately and brought up to the heavens, like Enoch, right?
Yeah.
So for God to do it is not a problem, okay? And he says he's watching over his word to make sure that it gets done. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now I'm going to get in the piano. I'm starting to need a towel again, Pastor Ben.
I might.
No, I don't want to get it now. But we're going to pop the break out the miracle fan. Okay, here we go. We're in chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1, okay? Because Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So let's see what it says here. I'm going to start in verse 1. Dear friends, this is now a second letter to you. I have written both of them as a reminder to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come.
Yeah.
Okay? So all you scoffers that come on social media and whatever fashion you come. If you follow the church, please don't discourage me. I got enough scoffers discouraging me, okay? Please try to encourage me. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these words also, the world of that time was deluded and destroyed. So he's talking about a specific time that they're forgetting that a judgment has already taken place on the earth.
Yeah.
Okay? As you're scoffing, listen, the same people that scoffed Noah are scoffing you.
Yeah.
It's the same spirit. What a fool. Why are you building an ark? Why don't you come and indulge in the worship of other gods with us? Why don't you mingle with the Nephilim with us? Why are you building a boat? Why are you teaching righteousness? Why are you talking about God? God doesn't exist. What does here exist? We can't see him. Where is your God? Let us see him. All these scoffing, everything that they're saying. It says these people deliberately forget that the world was created by God.
Yes.
Okay? And our scoffers are forgetting that a judgment day was promised by God. And he said it will be as it was in the days of Noah. You have 120 years.
Yes.
Since it wasn't 120 jubilees, we only have one left.
Yep.
that we can depend on. That's a 120-year count. And that is from 1901 to 2020, yeah, which starts March 26. Okay. And it says this: by these waters also the world at that time was deluded. It says, by the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Man, I was listening to J.R. Church and Gary Stearman this morning, and they said, they read a scripture that says, if you follow the doctrine of Christ, you belong to Christ. But if you follow not the doctrine of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. Christ's doctrine does not allow homosexuality. It is an abomination to God, and it will always be an abomination to God. Ane Yahweh Lo Shaniti is a numerical value of 888, which is who? Jesus. Yes. That saying in Hebrew says, I am God and I do not change. It does not matter if the world makes homosexuality legal. Right. It's still a spiritual crime. Okay? You can lie all day and not go to jail, well, in most cases, but it is still a spiritual crime. Yes. Homosexuality is a spiritual crime, and you must pay a spiritual punishment, yes, for it, which is Hades and torment. So don't let the world lie to you and tell you now God is accepting it as love being just love. It doesn't matter if you love a man or a woman, love is just love. That is a satanic lie that comes from the same serpent that said, did God really say homosexuality was a sin? Did God really say that? And because of Eve's desire for the fruit, she went ahead and ate, even though she know God said, don't touch it, right?
Yep.
So no matter how you try to twist it so you can enjoy your favorite sin, God already made the proclamation of whether it's right or wrong.
Amen.
And Ane Lo Yahweh Lo Shaniti. He is God and he will not change. Wow.
Amen.
God put me in a commercial. I'm back. All right. So now in verse 8, it says, do not forget this one thing. Okay, Atishka he at the Hal Deber. This one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, so as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, stop there. That means that there is no such thing as you were chosen to be saved. This old Calvinist doctrine, you're chosen to be saved, and your brother, who is just a bad person, is just not chosen. That is a lie from hell.
Amen.
God says it is his desire that everyone come to repentance. Okay? The only people that are chosen are the Jews.
Yep.
And they have been chosen to reject Christ. And they have been chosen to do what they are doing to bring about God's prophecy of the Messiah to save the rest of the world.
Yes.
But God is going to restore them and bring them back and give them double for everything that they've gone through to help him in his process of saving the whole world.
Amen.
But every Gentile, God has already said, it is his intent that everyone should be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, okay, not the chosen ones that he said that, oh, I'm going to have him saved, and I'm going to get him saved, and oh, I'm choosing you, but I'm not choosing your brother or your sister. They're going to be bad people, and don't worry about them. No, you preach the gospel to them because God wants everyone to be saved. Yeah. If you preach the gospel, they have the opportunity, yeah, just like you did, to get saved. Yeah. So do not get caught up in a Calvinistic doctrine that God has already pre-selected who's going to be saved. That is a lie from hell.
Amen.
Okay. Here we go. God keeps putting me on commercials and bringing me back. Okay.
Shalom from Kenya, Pastor Sandy.
Shalom, Kenya. What's her name in Kenya, or he in Kenya?
It is Caroline.
Caroline. Shalom. Adonai Achavalach. God loves you. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
Yes.
Watch this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Listen to that. It will come as a thief. That means it will come unexpectedly, but it will come. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare.
Yes.
Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live what kind of lives? Holy and godly lives.
Yes.
But if I live a holy and godly life, if I make that my effort, then I'm not depending on God's grace. I'm just going to live an unholy, sinful life because that's who naturally I am. And since I'm saved by grace, I'm just going to be dependent on God's grace to save me. And I'm going to ignore this doctrine that God is commanding me to live holy and godly lives because I know that judgment is coming.
Yeah.
Okay?
Pastor Shalom from Burrind, from Australia.
From Australia?
Burrind,
Australia?
Burrind is his name.
Oh, Burrind.
Burrind?
Uh-huh. Oh, from praise Australia. God. Thank you, Australia. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Spread the word. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
We start 120th March 26th. And it says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire. Listen to what it says. The heavens by fire. Remember, that place is going to be rolled back.
Yes.
And the elements will melt in the heat. That just makes me laugh. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. I'm going to tell you why I was laughing. They are planning on building weapons to come out and fight against Jesus. You know, even in Revelation, it says that they turned their attention to fight against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as if you can fight against God. Every star that's in the galaxy was spoken by his word.
Yes.
The sun, which he made a sun, right? And the stars are little suns, but he made the sun. And I don't know, that's just weird that you would try to fight against a God that created the sun.
Crazy.
He basically doesn't have to destroy you with his mouth. He can just throw the sun at you. But he's going to come in full force.
Amen.
More powerful than the sun.
Right.
He's going to let the sword come from his mouth,
yeah,
and burn them up, yes, with the words from his mouth, with the sword that comes from his mouth. They can't fight against God.
It's crazy.
You can't fight against God, but they're trying to make sure that that they can bring human race under the authority of the Antichrist and be prepared to fight a war against God.
Amen.
Crazy.
Shalom from Bakersfield, South Africa, Oklahoma, and Miami.
Hallelujah. Shalom, everyone. Bakersfield. Hallelujah. I wonder if it's the Bakersfield I used to go shoot rabbits. Don't say that, Pastor. Don't say you shoot rabbits. Well, they were wild rabbits, and they taste just like chicken. I'm not talking about the little fluffy ones you buy at the pet store. I'm talking about the wild ones running around that Bakersfield forest there. Okay, hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want us to talk about this other element, okay? It said that day will bring about the destruction of fire and the elements, okay? And 14 says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, watch what it says. Make every effort. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him.
Yes.
If I make an effort, that means I'm trying to do it on my own and not by the grace of God. And therefore, I'm not going to make any effort. I'm just going to live in my sin and just be saved by grace. You're getting away from the doctrine because you're believing a lie from Satan. Okay? We're supposed to be fighting against the flesh. Who is it that said, I die daily?
Yeah.
I die daily to my flesh. Okay? So we're supposed to be putting this flesh to death.
Yeah.
Okay? We're supposed to crucify it daily. We're supposed to bring my mouth into obedience to Christ. I bring my eyes in obedience to Christ. Yeah. Why? Because my eyes are not, do you know my eyes are not allowed to look at what it wants to?
Amen.
You know what I mean? If something comes on TV and the Holy Spirit says turn it off, my eyes better obey the Holy Spirit. Because when you come in the house and you see your little kids watching something that they shouldn't be watching, you go, what are you guys watching? Turn this off.
Yep.
And those kids turn it off. You know why? Because they're children.
Yep.
But we don't want to be the children of God. We want to be the adults of God.
Yeah.
You can't tell me what to do. I'm an adult. There is no place in the Bible that talks about us as being the adults of God. We are all the children of God. That means you are under the obedience of your father.
Yeah.
So my eyes come into the obedience of God. I can't look at what I want to look at.
Amen.
Because my flesh would love to sit there and look at stupidness, right? Some girl walked by, you know what? Minister D'Angelo, when he was here, with this girl walked by to us we were at a gas station. She walked by and she was dressed like she was trying to make money.
Ooh.
And she was a pretty girl. And she walked by and me and Wink went, let's not look in Jesus' name. And we didn't even look at her. We didn't want to give her no attention. We didn't look. We went and paid for our gas and we said, we're not even going to look at her.
Amen.
Let her get in her car and get out of here, right? Because we brought our eyes under the obedience of Christ,
yes,
right?
Yes.
God wants us to make every effort to live holy and godly lives before him, okay?
Yes.
You curse me out, my lips had better not speak back a word that you've spoken out of my mouth because my mouth belongs to God.
Yes.
I've been purchased by God, okay? And so therefore, all of me belongs to God.
Yeah.
My legs can't walk to be where they want to go.
Right.
Because they might want to walk somewhere that I don't want to go.
Amen.
Because them legs ain't going to hell or heaven. Them legs are going back into the dirt. Am I right, Pastor Ben?
Yeah, you're right.
That's Pastor Ben's doctrine. Your flesh ain't going nowhere. Your flesh is trying to drive you into hell.
Yeah.
So you better tell that little 5-year-old flesh. You let a toddler tell you what to do, that's bad.
Amen.
Okay? And don't let my emotions cannot control me.
Yeah.
So you got a 5-year-old body, you don't let a toddler tell you what to do, and then you let a teenager, which is your emotions,
right,
control right your every day.
Right?
Because when something happens, I can either sob and cry and go, oh, all is lost. Or I can praise God and say, my God is able.
Yeah.
Because my spirit says, my God is able.
Yeah.
Shut up, you teenage emotion. Speak the word of God in this situation, you teenage emotion.
Amen.
And so we bring that teenage emotion into the obedience of the Spirit. And it says, well, bless the Lord, my God. He is able in all situations.
Yes.
But if I let my emotions control everything about my life, yes, I'm going to be up some days, down some days, up some days, yes, down some days. And I've got to speak the word over my situation so that my emotions,
yeah,
don't control my house, because teenagers can't control your house.
Amen.
Because they're silly.
Just goofy. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Hallelujah.
I want you to pray because that tornado hit.
I'm praying. Me and my wife were talking about, we are praying for Tennessee. Because that is an awful way to wake up to your day. I tell you the story of one of the men that was there. He said his brother called him in Tennessee and said, hey, it seems like that tornado is getting, he said, it seems like this storm is getting worse than I thought. He says, he called his brother and said, you should take your family and go and wait in the basement until the storm is over.
Mm-hmm.
So they all went into the basement. And he said, when they came up out of the basement, their whole house was crumbles and wood was everywhere, and even their car was flipped over.
What?
Okay, so if his brother had not called him,
oh my goodness,
okay, and told him to take your family and go into the basement because this storm is getting bad. He said it was getting bad, but they didn't think that it would be as bad as it got.
Wow.
So I thank God for his brother that called him and for the people that were,
amen,
saved through it. And we're praying for the families that went through that tornado in Tennessee. Thank you for praying with us. Praise God.
Amen.
So much. Now, don't you think that we need Jesus?
Huh.
I mean, this earth is a place that suffering can happen at any time. I was watching the video that I think the young lady sent us from Arizona. I think the name is Cindy Burns or something like that,
yeah,
from Tucson, Arizona.
Candy.
I was watching, huh, is it Candy?
I think Candy.
Yeah, Burns, and she sent us the film about the Christians that get persecuted and what they had to do to maintain their voice for Christ and the torment that they went. The homelessness that we have to watch, even when we come into our own church, of people packing up cardboards and materials that they slept on overnight, and we have a city that has millions of dollars that will not lift a finger for them. And so you have to understand that the world has to go through a change and metamorphosis,
yes,
so that godly people and the world can get back to what God intended it,
yes,
for it to be. So we're waiting on the rapture. And why do we know that it's going to happen? Because of the word of God.
Yes.
That's how we know. We're not dreaming some dream. We're telling you a guy that everything that speaks out of his mouth come true,
yes,
told us to wait and hope for this day. And he said it will be 120 years, the same as it was in the days of Noah.
Yes.
And he counted it out from 1900 to 2020. And now we've arrived.
Yes.
March 26th, we've arrived, 120th year. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Exactly.
If you don't know Jesus. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Be afraid, very afraid, if you're telling God that your sin is just who you are and you want to live lukewarm. Be afraid, very afraid, because all Christians don't go in the rapture. I'm going to say this. All confessing Christians don't go in the rapture.
Right. So-called.
Right. Well, they're not so-called. They really did accept Jesus Christ. They just don't live his doctrine because it interferes with their sin life. Like, I can't curse people out if I follow everything that the word says. You understand? So I got to make some accommodations to be who I am. So therefore, God calls you lukewarm. God says you got spots, blemishes, and wrinkles. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And that's not the bride that he's coming for. You understand?
Amen.
So we're making every effort to bring our flesh and our spirit in alignment with God so we can have this agape love, which is a reciprocal brotherly love that comes from God, right?
Yeah.
We love him and he loves us. If we love him, we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
He loves us and he watches over us, okay?
Yeah.
It all works out if you do it right, but when you're trying to live in sin and you let your flesh talk to you,
yes,
and your heart, because your heart is deceitfully wicked, it will tell you.
Yes.
He didn't really. My flesh told me that for a long time. My flesh told me, of course, God don't expect for a man to go without a woman for all these years and not be with a woman. So this must not mean physical fornication. So I said, I convinced my heart convinced me that God meant spiritual fornication, because you're doing things that you're worshiping other gods. That's spiritual fornication. See, so what I'm doing is not sin, because what I'm doing is fleshly fornication, and God doesn't expect a man to live without fleshly, you know, satisfaction. So therefore, I'm okay. Now listen, let me tell you, I could have wrote a book on it, because that was my doctrine. You understand? That was my doctrine. That's how I justified being a slut, right? Because I can't just call myself a slut, because then so I said, I'm going to justify it and say I'm only committing physical, not spiritual fornication, which is real, is the real sin.
Oh yeah.
And my flesh told me that, my heart told me. And you know what? I read a scripture and it said the heart is deceitfully wicked. And I went, oh, it could be lying to me. Maybe I better get back in my word, right?
Pastor Sandy Lori Price, she said, Pastor Ben, I wonder if Pastor Sandy would do a 5-minute Q&A, question and answer, after Bible study for us in online chat, since we don't get to be there.
So
we can plan, you know, at the end of our RMBCs, maybe we can plan a little, you know, a little 5 or 10 minute chat after.
Yeah. We could do. We could just cut it off at 10 minutes and say, now we'll go. Let's start next week.
Okay.
Yep, let's start next week. It's not March 26th next week.
No, it's not.
Because March 26, some crazy things.
Sonia, that's a great idea.
Yep, great idea. What's her name, Sonia?
Her name is Sonia Joubert.
Uh-huh. Where's she from?
I don't know. I think Sonia's from Africa, South Africa.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We're going to do that next week.
Starting next week.
I'm going to cut in 10 minutes and say, it's question and answer time here at... I'm going to do that. Okay. The Lord told me to finish this, so I'm going to finish it, okay? So it says, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort. Since you're looking forward to the return of Christ, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, okay? Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, with the wisdom of God that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking to them of these matters. So Paul was telling them, be prepared and ready for the return of the Lord. Okay. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Okay? So if you're teaching once saved, always saved, ignorant and foolish people preach these things, and it's going to bring about your destruction. Because everyone that believes your doctrine, that you don't have to live godly because you already got saved when you were 14, is under a curse, because God says you are going against his word.
Yes.
You cannot teach opposite God's doctrine, which tells us to make every effort to live godly, and tell people don't make any effort because you're already worthy.
Yes, she's from Johannesburg.
Johannesburg. Yes. Praise God, and Johannesburg.
Frank, from Germany.
Praise God.
His his family thinks he's cuckoo.
Hey. That's all right.
We pray for the good-hearted unbeliever. They think he's
cuckoo. Wow. And you know what? I heard that Noah's neighbors called him a nut, too.
Yeah, they did.
They said that man is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, building a boat in the middle of the desert, talking about rain is going to fall out of the sky.
Amen.
Now, they would have came and picked you up in our day. Okay. You know what I mean? And put you in a white coat and put you in a little home.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, it's okay to be crazy for Christ.
Amen. Shalom from Delaware.
Shalom, Delaware, in the Far East. Okay. So I think we're about finished right now, Pastor Ben.
Right.
Now, do we have 5 minutes or 2 minutes?
We have 3 minutes.
Okay. I want you to understand this. Let's look at the board real fast, and we're going to close out from the board. Okay. Now watch this. I'm going to look for my pen, marker.
Marker?
I have marker. It's right here. That's why I couldn't find it. Okay. So, 1947, this psalm right here, fulfilled. This psalm right here was fulfilled. Okay. Psalm 67, this psalm right here was fulfilled. Okay. Now, God started counting from 1901. Okay. So, as we look down here, from Psalms 1 to Psalms 120 is the 120-year count. So, now, how do we know it's the 120-year count? Because God has marked every year with a prophecy fulfilled in each year so that we'll know. After this, he continues fulfilling prophecy because now you're going to see Israel in trouble, Israel rebuild the temple, Israel being rescued from a flood of army that's coming against them, the return of Christ. You see all from 20 to 27 is still being prophesied. So, this is the promise in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. I will not contend with men forever, for their days will be 120 years, and the flood came.
Yeah.
Okay? So how do we have a day like this day? Because Christ says when he comes, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah, the 120-year count. Okay?
Yeah.
So now that we're about to reach this 120 years, we're not hoping against hope. We're looking at the word of God and we're saying the word of God is about to produce the rapture.
Yes.
Why? Because he said it, and it's going to happen because he said it. All right? Praise God. God bless you guys. Questions next week.
Yeah.
All right.
And you're out.
All right.